Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is sort of middle of our country. We go from Ballybor in the north down to Dunshaughlin, which is near Dublin, across to Edenderry in North Kildare, and then across to Jaleek on the east side. So we have huge country, but we share that with a couple of other packs. And this meet today is Bliver, a small little town in central Meath, flat country, lovely ditches, big ditches. Ditches are mostly the obstacles we jump in this county because of the drainage that has to be done to produce the land dry enough for farming over the centuries. And they produce a fabulous obstacle. We will be jumping a few gates and poles because some of the farmers around here are nice and friendly and they put up obstacles for us.
Sometimes you meet at a pub. A lot of the meets up here are at pubs. Sometimes it's at a crossroads. But inevitably, if you're here early, we always try and come in and everybody meets or settles up whatever they've settled up during the day. And then we usually end at the same pub. You know, unless you end up miles from the meet and the horse boxes collect and then everybody comes back to the pub afterwards.
I always find anyway, particularly hunting in Meath, that it's always 2 or 3 degrees colder up here than it is in Dublin. So it's for medicinal purposes, I would argue anyway. Cheers.
there are a few quite large ditches. Yeah. We left you in one day.
Over here. You left me in many all over Meath. Yeah.
Well, the last day I was out, I ended up on my tail end, but Michael did as well, so I haven't been out for 3 weeks and he hasn't been out for about 10 days. But I was standing there at the mirror this morning and I said, will I or won't I put a change? And then I said, no, because if I put a change in, I'm bound to come off, yeah. And then I said, because a lot of the, at this moment, you know, with all the water, a lot of the ditches will be full of water. And I said, no. Right. Definitely not. So we left them at home.
So you're going to the fall and you're...
No,
you're
definitely not.
Actually, it's lovely if you can get cracking around here because there's very little wire. Yes. And it's great, you know, it's nice. And the farmers are very pro us. They enjoy having us, which is great.
We'll give you a description of all the big ditches when we come home.
The aisle is twice as big when you get back to the pub, you know. Yeah, heroic deal.
Well, I've been an ex-master. I was hunting the hounds for 50 years, and I broke my neck, unfortunately, 5 years ago. And so now I take a great interest in the hunt still, and I love to get out in the car, follow them around, and see what I can. Of course, it's not as good as being on a horse, but we still love to do it anyway. And
longest-serving master in these islands, I think, aren't you, darling?
Yes, well, so they tell me.
Trouble is, when he was hunting, a house, he would jump a house if necessary. He loved to be with his hounds, but he always had very good horses. And it was just unfortunate, the accident he had. Then a lorry drove into him and he broke 2 vertebrae later.
I've been hunting with the tires since 1980, because we moved down to Longwood in 1980. And I joined George Briscoe. And I've been helping him since about 1985. In that time, we hunt the hare and the fox, but because of reps, because of sheep wire, a hare will run rings around us. We haven't a hope of catching him. He can use the countryside to his own benefit. And they swap with each other. If a hare gets tired, he'll swap. He'll pick up his next-door neighbour and let him do the running for a while. But in the 15 years that I'm talking about, I think we've killed 2 or 3 hares. And they were old and injured hares, so I have no problem with that. As regards to foxes, we're hunting more and more foxes because there are more of them.
we would kill very few for the same reason. The land is restraining us, and the physical aspects of farming are restraining us and restraining the hounds from actually catching a fox. But in some areas we do, and we're quite successful. The farmers encourage us to kill a fox if we get the opportunity.
Hello, babies, how are you? We're going to have a lovely day. I was having fun. Yes. You're good girls. You're very good girls. Oh, they are sweet. Oh, you know, there's Terry. They're a nice pattern, aren't they? You're very beautiful, yes. Yes, you are.
Our huntsman today is Terry Dowdle from Navan. Good morning, Terry.
Morning, Kevin.
How are things?
Oh, no, well, it seems all right. Everything seems to be okay.
Grand. I rang those few fellas we didn't see on Saturday up at the back of where we're hunting, and everything was grand. So we can use that block any way you want. It depends how we run a course. We'll go down the road here now to about a mile outside the village where they have the Beliver show on Joe Ging's farm. And we'll head off across there. And way up towards Raharney is the direction we're taking. And we'll hit, I suppose, about 10 or 12 farmers today that we've seen already over the weekend. We don't go anywhere without permission. We've no business on any man's land anyway without permission. And then we'll cover as much as the area we've organised. And if we get a run, we get a run after a hare or a fox. And if we don't, we'll just work the country and give the followers a bit of jumping.
We'll follow them round, and when they go into the field, we'll go out. We'll put our Labradors on a lead, and we go and walk them and try and have a bit of exercise and follow them round. And with a bit of luck, we pick them up further on.
It isn't very easy in the centre of Meath because it's very flat.
I go twice a week to the hunt, basically. My official job is cap collector. Now, it's an unpaid job, it's a voluntary thing. It's an honorary position, I suppose you might say. If you're a farmer or you're a member of the hunt, a landowner, it's just £10 for the day's hunting. That's basically now, it's very simple, you know. There's nothing extravagant about it. It's just for the upkeep of the hunt and pays the huntsman's wages and things. You know, that's more or less it now.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Kristen and I are on
day. Right, okay, that's fine.
I would describe that as a dirty big black hole. That it would take a good man in his normal, in good health, to even attempt to cross it on his own without the horse. You'd want to have a crowd of people together to get up and get out and do it. It's whatever happens between us and when we get going that turns the excitement up. Just the same as the horses. You can see the way the horse won't stand still. That's because he's excited. He wants to go on and have his fun as well.
I really, really enjoy jumping big, clean fences. I hunt for the love of the sport and the enjoyment of watching all the hounds work. When I get up on my horse in the morning on a day's hunting, if it's a nice day, it's an absolute bonus. But when we go into the first field, it completely takes all the stresses of the week away. You forget about everything that you've left behind, like your children, your work, and you just look forward to the sport for the whole complete sport for the day. And what you find is, from the first field and getting up in the morning, suddenly 5 hours have passed and it's 4 o'clock. and you get off your horse at the end of the day and you said, wow, that was really nice, and you have completely, completely wiped everything else from your mind.
We're just coming up to a big fence now and I feel really nervous, but I know I have to do it, and if I don't do it, I'm going to get left behind. So that's it, I jump it. And when I get to a fence, I'm terrified, and the bigger it is, the more frightened I am. But once I get over it, I'm absolutely delighted with myself, really, really thrilled. It gives me a great, great thrill to jump. I usually hang on to the next trap. A lot of times I end up between his ears, but I usually manage to stay on. I work in Dublin in a bank, so when I'm hunting, I get up, I leave the house at 7:15, I get into work at 7:30 in the city, and I leave again at 11:30 and take a half day to hunt. This morning I got up at 5:55 and packed all my hunting gear with me, put it in the car and went off to work, and then drove straight to the meet, and my husband usually takes the horse to the meet for me, and I try and hunt about once a week if I can. Well, nobody else in the bank hunts, and they all sort of turn up their nose when they hear I'm going hunting. I think it's because of the kill element. You know, they think I'm out killing animals. It's not like that at all. The first fence we came to today was an upright, and after jumping it, he stumbled, and I went right out across his head. Oh, I think my friends in the bank would probably be delighted that I had a fall.
Just coming up to a big white ditch here now. Steady. Let's take a good look. Aston, that was one of those very wide ditches that you need to sit back, hold the back of the saddle or hail a taxi, which means balancing yourself on the back of the saddle with your hand up in the air, which actually comes naturally to most people. It keeps the balance in the middle of the saddle so you won't get unseated when you land at the far side. But a very nice big ditch and wide.
There are some more elm trees here that have been fallen from the Dutch elm disease for a number of years there, and they have been laying about there. So I just got the idea that it was a shame to see them. You know, when you open the gate there and they'll gallop through it, I'm going to just put those across there and leave it. It's slightly more difficult for them. There's also a couple of lovely ditches that they jump, but in my opinion, they slide down into it, some of them, and then they gallop up out of it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put one of them across the front of it, and they'll have to jump it then. It'll be more entertaining. I'll enjoy watching them more anyway. They mightn't enjoy it, but I will. I would only have a glancing interest in horses. I wouldn't be deeply involved in them, but most people are the very same. It's a fantastic pastime. And the hunt also provides a great outlet for doctors, accountants that are stuck in offices from one end of the week to the other. You get one day a fortnight out. I think they were only scratching the surface as regards the potential that's there for recreation. And we need more recreation. This Celtic tiger needs to be slowed down, and we need more recreation.
Well, I had three children, and we just got out of horses completely. My husband's a farmer, and we actually moved to Jersey and lived there for 12 years. And I think I lost my nerve. I just didn't get up on a horse. And then my husband thought that I should have a hobby when I started work in Dublin, and he got me back into it again, and told me that he'd have me hunting before Christmas last year, which he did. And the first couple I was really, really terrified, and I thought, this isn't for me at all. But the more I did it, the more confident I got. I mean, I'm still not very confident, but I'm certainly better than I was this time last year, and I try to get out at least once a week if I can.
I love to see them going over my land. All the better. If they fall into a ditch or two, it's twice as good. But I love to see them enjoying themselves. It's fantastic for them. Like, take a doctor, or take even a solicitor, a busy day's work. It takes the absolute chore out of it if they can look forward to something. Everybody has to have something. I'm not saying they're having something else to look forward to. But it's a complete different way. It's absolutely worry-free for them. It's a day out. It's doing us no harm. Absolutely no harm. I think it's... I often saw them come on a really wet day, say in December, January. By the time March had come, you wouldn't see a track on the ground. Not a track.
The first bit of country happened, that we're after hunting, we got nothing, there's no hare nor fox in it. We're drawing this bit of cover now, and hopefully there might be something in it. We drew Joe Ging's farm first, down to it, we went in, hacked down the lane and into the first field, and we drew round in a big circle over a couple of 100 acres of land, and there was no hare or fox in it to hunt. We jumped a few fences there around in a big circle, which you do with harrier hunting. We're going into a different square of country now, and hopefully we'll get something better to hunt and make a day of it. We're out about 3/4 of an hour. We're going round, covered probably guts of 1,000 acres of land. Mile-wise, I suppose we've done about 8 or 10 miles so far round as we went. And it's unknown what the hounds do, the distance to cover, run here, there and to and fro and that. They're back with me now, as you can see. And I put them into this cover, and we'll hopefully move on a bit further. If I see a hare going up across the field, I'll give a few tally hoes and blow the hunting horn, and the whips will put the hounds to me, and the hounds will go on the scent. Once you hear the hounds starting to give tongue, once one gives tongue, the whole lot will run on and give tongue on it, and the hunt has started at that stage.
I suppose one of the charms of hunting is the unknown. You really don't know what's going to be at the back of a big bank, and I have to say I really enjoy that. Some of them you come up to are very wide and you're standing there sort of wondering, what am I doing this for? But at least if you know you're on a good horse, you just point your horse, make sure he has a good look first, and then hope for the best and keep the legs stuck in the saddle. Anybody can hunt if you have the nerve. But I do believe that a good horse is like a good insurance policy. When you come up to something that's very big and dirty or very high, it's nice to know that you're on something that will get you to the other side safely above anything else. And I think it's peace of mind as well when you want to be there at the end of the day in one piece and heading home.
I don't go hunting that much during school time, but like any time I have school off, I try to go on as many hunts as I can. Like, I only go to like 2 blaver hunts. They're the only times I get school off, just the 2 blaver hunts. Because like, they're the best hunts. I just want to go out and jump the ditches and not bother about the hares or foxes. And yeah, I'd be like hoping the hares get away. I'd be like, whoa, go away, hare, go on.
I came off. I was 2 clicks behind the field master when he was jumping a big ditch. His horse got stuck on the top bank and we jumped really on top of him. And we were the first one to roll back into the ditch, which was extremely wet and muddy. So that was the story of my falling off. It wasn't a very glamorous falling off. It was an extremely humiliating falling off. And I'm still wet. At my age, I now have to be hoiked back into the saddle. So if somebody else had to get off to hoik me back, which I wouldn't have managed by myself. I've been hunting about 30 years. But my hunting's been in England, and it's rather different hunting from the hunting in Ireland. Ireland is wild hunting, proper wild country. In England, the country's all manicured. That's why it's such fun to come to Ireland.
the first place we drew was blank. There was no hare in it at all across the whole country. And then I went into a heifer four thinking there might be a fox in it, and four hares hopped up out of it in the second division of country. And they didn't go on the first one, they went on the second one, and we got that spin back across, right across that country, across Bertie's and round in a big circle there. We were going for, 20 minutes, I suppose, hard. They were hunting them well. One went one way and the other went the other way. The one we followed, the hunter on site for the first 200 or 300 yards until she went through the ditch. She would have been gaining ground on them at that stage, you know what I mean? But the hunter through the ditch and that, and it was good enough to bring them through. Sometimes you won't get them to hunt a hare through a ditch. It was a big place. Scent wasn't great today. Well, you never get great scent when you have that strong sun, frost at night and strong sun. You want a soft, mildish kind of day for scent, for good scent. And that, but not, it wasn't brilliant now, but it wasn't, I seen worse.
Well, I started 4 years ago with the Tower of Harriers. Took it up as a hobby, got serious. But at the end, the first year, I reckon I was one of the fittest men in the Tower of Harriers, because I was mostly running after my horse throughout the whole day, because it was being cat jumped out of saddles and this, that and the other, and this, that and the other, you know what I mean? My horse, he's a mind of his own. We decided there that we wanted to jump down into a big ditch, and it was far too wide to jump across. And my horse has a mind of its own, decided it wanted to jump straight across, took me unawares. So what can you do? Only hang on to your neck strap and just let him off. Simple as that. We better keep up with these crowd here anyway. So tally-ho.
David's the master's horse has just lost a shoe and got slightly cut. So he's swapped with me and he's taken my horse to go on because he has to finish the day. So he goes on, I take the lame horse back to the meet. I'm finished for the day, I'm going to walk back to the meet. Oh, that's part of my life. If you're a master's wife, that's the way life works.
You see the fox going down over the field? Oh, Jesus Christ, he run down and up over, out over the river there.
Did you see the fox?
Yeah.
Where'd you see him?
The field in front of them, outside there, from where we were there. And he run down the riverbank and he went a bit to the left and then he crossed.
Fox had gone into the cover, into ground, down in the cover, just short of the cover. We just couldn't get to him where we were standing. We're going back into the same bit of country again, back across the road, back to where we came from. Right? When I mark the fox to ground, we don't dig. We just leave it be and move on into a new bit of country. We don't bring terriers with us and spades to dig them out. We just leave them for the next day. We don't dig out at all, and very few packs do dig out nowadays. They're anti-end of it and whatnot. The fox is left for another day. In some cases, maybe farmers with sheep and lambs, maybe if there's a fox, an injured fox in the locality or something like that, yes, they'd want you to kill. Just to kill the fox for, dig him out and kill him for, shoot him on the day for the farmer. Like if he's doing a lot of harm killing lambs or hens or something like that. You don't get that much of it, but you get a bit of it.
I used to hunt, but I don't anymore. I give it up. I have a bad back. That's the reason why I give it up. I had 2 discs removed out of my back, so I give it up. What do I miss most of it? Well, the enjoyment, the whole thrill of the hunt, like riding the horses, the whole lot. It's fantastic. Sometimes it is dangerous for the horses, yeah. Some of them get hurt, but they could get galloped around the field and fall and slip and hurt themselves. It's no, you know, it's the same thing. They don't actually get hurt. You don't bring them out to hurt them. They actually enjoy the hunt more than you do. Their ears start going, and you see the horse, it lights up, you know. They know the sound of the horn and the whole lot.
You get some days out hunting, like about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we got a very late hunt at the end of the day. And it happened so quickly that we hardly knew what happened. I actually wasn't far enough up to see the hounds working. But all of a sudden we found ourselves in this really, really dirty country. And the first 10 or 12 fields was fine. And as we got further into the country, it looked more and more like a battlefield. There were ponies everywhere. There were people running after their horses. And the next ditch that I came up to, one poor gentleman had broken his collarbone. So we managed to get him up and over that fence, and then we had to turn around and try and find a doctor to get him back to the road. And we went on because there were a few people looking after him, and then we got to the next fence, and unfortunately one of my very good friends, his horse had broken his leg. So it is one of those sports where some days everybody arrives home safely, and then some days it can be far more dangerous. I know I should wear a back protector, but being quite honest with you, my hunting coat is tight enough as it is without being able to put a back protector under it. I do realise that that is no excuse, but however, my little girl comes out hunting with me and she is actually not allowed to sit on her pony without her helmet on and her back protector, and this has just become part of her riding thing, that she does not sit on her pony without a back protector. I had my first fall today. I usually spend most of before the hunt in the loo, and I usually don't sleep well the night before either because I'm so nervous. But for all that, I really, really do enjoy it. It's a wonderful day out, absolutely wonderful. Well, my husband bought him a present for me last Christmas, and it cost £1,200. And he's a cob, he's 16 hands, and he's wonderful. I love him. I didn't worry about him until I saw the horse last Thursday falling and breaking his leg, and that made me a little nervous. But I don't worry too much about it. I mean, I was a bit concerned last Thursday, all right. It was a bit upsetting watching that horse die. But normally I don't. I mean, if you were to think about that, you'd probably never go out hunting at all.
We have everybody hunting. I mean, there's no way you can divide the thing into different, I don't know, social stratas. We don't have that. But there is every occupation represented out today. And we also have some men of the cloth out with us. We'd have several who hunt with us and love it. And it's great relaxation for them. And the odd time they give us a good word from the pulpit. But great tradition of hunting crease in Ireland. People can imply that we have a social thing involved with hunting. We don't. It's certainly not anymore, anyway.
Well, I've hunted for years, and in the other parishes that I've been in, you know, the people never reacted. And the one I'm in now is a very hunting pro parish anyway, because the local hunt are settled in it. You know, the hunt kennels is in it. And most of the farming people are delighted to see the priest out. Most of them are. I suppose the townspeople might have a slightly different attitude, but by and large, I don't think they really mind. That's my understanding of it anyway. The Tara's like are, you know, a kind of a very friendly pack. They're great for a young horse, which that fell is. You know, they're not too... They don't go at a relentless gallop, which the other hunts might if they got a good run, you know. So it suits that. But I know the Tara's are very good. I like them well.
The knowledge of the countryside is what this is all about. I know my part of the country, the huntsman knows his part, and Martin knows his part, and that's the key to our success, and we really are a successful hunt. We went through 30, 40 farmers today, and we went and saw every one of them, and they know us. They'll know me from IFA, they'll know Martin from his lime spreading and possibly from his job. They'll know Terry when... Terry, we used to have a flesh collection service. They know Terry from that. It's all about... you know, the communication and the recognising who's who, because it makes it so much easier if you go into a farmer and he knows who you are. He'll trust you. Today, we didn't have any problems with any individual landowner, but if a farmer says no, he has a damn good reason. He's either got new grass laid down or sheep and lambs or that, but we will generally get across that. But if he is anti-hunting, that's his prerogative, that's his wish, and we'll abide by that. I might try and persuade him. I might try and change his mind and have the debate with him and sometimes succeed. But, I mean, every person has their own opinion on country sports. We hope the whole thing will continue. I don't believe what we do is cruel. Other people do. They come from a different background, a different part of society. I keep trying to convince them, but... The debate will continue.
You! hurry him up. I keep my horse in livery because it suits me. Again, I don't really have time anymore to spend the time going out every day exercising him and looking after him. And I also feel because he is a young horse, he can get the attention that he needs there. For 10 years, I did look after my horse, but with the children growing up now and everything, I just find I really just I don't have the time commitment to do it. Most livery yards will cost about £60 to £70 a week. And on top of that, then, if you lose a shoe out hunting, that'll be an extra charge. If your horse gets sick, you know, or if you possibly need your horse clipped, which will happen about 3 or 4 times during the year, then if you're getting transported up hunting, you could find that'll be another maybe £20, £25. But I reckon I'll spend that on diesel anyway if I'm going to tow myself. Relative to other sports, I would reckon that hunting in Ireland is certainly, it's not too expensive. When you take into the consideration now, certainly joining a golf club anywhere near the vicinity of Dublin, you're talking about very major money. It's a little bit more expensive if you live outside the country that you hunt in, because obviously you have to pay an extra levy to be a member. If you are a farmer living within the country, it's certainly not very expensive at all.
From America, North Carolina. I'm over here just the first time hunting, and I hired this horse, and it's the best horse I've ever sat on. The ditches are bigger than anything we've ever jumped. They've all been good fences. The worst was probably a little tiny piece of hot electric wire we had to jump, and the biggest was 2 big ditches. Huge ditches. I'm glad I didn't go off in them.
We generally stay out for about 2-2.5 hours, and that's from 1 o'clock to 2:30, that type of thing. And the country we went round, we hadn't that much country here, so that's all we stay out, about 2 hours to 2.5 hours every day. And, well, we were busy all day. I won't say we had a great day, but we were busy, on the move all the time, and jumped a good few fences, and that, I think everyone's happy enough and that, but everything has to come to an end.
Day. Filthy jumping. Absolutely wonderful. Stayed aboard for the whole 2 hours. Very happy about that.
A lot of the time today it was difficult to see because all the banks and ditches had trees on them, and you were so busy concentrating actually on what you were going over, if you were a little bit behind, that it was actually difficult to see the hare. But you could see the hounds working away and giving tongue. It's the sound that a dog, like a dog barking, once the hounds head on the scent of either a fox or a hare, they give tongue, which is the noise that they make once they catch the scent of a hare or a fox. It's called giving tongue.
This is my fella, yeah? Yeah, he's 13 now. I've had him since he was a 4-year-old, so we've had a lot of good times together. And this is a stablemate, Cracker. This is my wife's horse.
And these are all stablemates together, the 4 of them.
Yep.
They give great, yeah. They give great fun. Thank you, Doc.
Brian and Vincent are great. Any hunt I go to, they always give me a lift back. They're absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's a long hack back. It was a three mile hack back today, and the lads very kindly gave me a lift back.
If you want to wash a cut here, we have. See this? We're going to need a... This year we jumped and a bad bit of a thorn in it. And he went up on his knee. I just want to check to see, is it No. That'd normally need a stitch now if it was bigger, any bigger to the bone, you know. But it's not, it's just a bare flesh. So we'll just wash that. Keep any infection over, because this time of the year you get a lot of infection with bushes, blackthorn bushes that's coming into the blossom. And a spike now like that on a horse would leave him very sore. Actually, would go septic, probably put him over action. You'd have to feel his old legs for blackthorn sticks. Yeah. He's clean enough. The powder now on the back with that. And that'll dry up. This horse will hunt hunt next Thursday, hopefully in the hill down. He hunts 2 days a week, sister, the lad. He's a great hunter. Absolutely. He's on his second hunting season. And the lad beside him there now is on his fourth hunt. Super hunters. Super horses. Yeah.
Is that cut clean, Mr.?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It is cut. Yeah, it's clean, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing in it. Dry now. Put a bit of powder on that. Job socks up. Now we'll give that a bit of hay. The dress coat. Well, the dress actually is the stock that we're wearing here, we're talking about. Well, that there basically is tied on tight enough. There's a style in how it's tied, actually. And that's tied on tight enough in such a way that you won't get a whiplash. That's to say, if you're getting a whiplash, you get a bad bang in the head from above of a tree, or even coming off. You tie on that tight enough that you wouldn't get your finger down there. That's severely tied on during the day. And then in the event of the horse getting cut, out there, bad cut, whip it off, and that makes a bandage for his leg. The coat is much the same. It would protect you from a bad cut, or even this time of the year, thorns are. Black thorns again, like, you take a stab from a black thorn, now it's poisonous. Especially in this time of the year when it comes into flower. That wouldn't penetrate with a black thorn. That's mainly the rest. The jolpers are just for comfort, for riding, and the boots. Keeping your leg from getting tore from the leathers.
Yeah. I had my second fall today. I was jumping this jump and a horse came alongside me and jumped it in on top of me and he knocked me off. But I was okay. He was very apologetic and got off his horse to give me a lift back up again and I'm fine. It was a fly fence, a small fence, no problem at all. I wasn't even nervous jumping into it. And the next thing is this horse came up on my left and just jumped right in on top of me and knocked me. I don't suppose it was his fault either. I mean, maybe his horse, he just couldn't control it. I don't know. But anyway, he knocked me off.
I was doing my job in front, so now I'm not able to talk now. We're in the pub drinking anyway. Me and non-drinker. It's brilliant here after the hunt. The ditches get much bigger. The one you jump, it's only 2'6". It's 10'6" again to leave the pub at night. They're enormous. I was out with the Westmeads on Saturday and they were talking, they were in Delvin on the Wednesday before and this fella fell into a ditch of water and they were calling him, was he doing a breaststroke or was he doing what kind of water wings? And listening to them, you think it was the bine he was at the fall into. And I said to a friend of his, was it a big ditch of water? Not at all, it was only an ordinary ditch of water. He says, you couldn't swim in it. He says, he just fell into it. But we were slagging him that it was, you know, and this is the life. You know, the scrapes on your face or on someone else's face or the clay on the backside of the trousers. Chad Burr say, you fell off, you bought a farm today. You know, it's all part and parcel of the hunting. Say, yeah, I bought a bit of County Meath today, it's great. You know, it's cheap farm or blah, blah, blah. This is the crack in the pub always. And so it could be 12 o'clock at night again, some of them would leave.
The blood gets up, you know, when you're kind of... I used to be nervous going out hunting when I first started, and, you know, sometimes it'd be... Yeah, I used to, years ago now, a long time ago. But, no, you do... It's amazing the way when the blood gets up and hounds are hunting and you're all galloping along like the clappers, that you kind of forget and you've jumped things before you even notice that you've gone over them.
Yeah, if you think about it, you won't do it, like, you know what I mean?
You don't think, actually, because once the blood gets up and you're running, you just do it. And, you know, it's just keep up at all costs.
Yeah. If you were really hunting fast now or that type of thing, you couldn't meet the bine and it wouldn't bother you. You know what I mean? You'd jump in and say...
I jumped today. I don't think I would jump that if I wasn't out hunting.
I came down to it in cold blood and jumped it.
Well, you would.
That's what I mean. It doesn't bother me now about cold blood or like hunting.
So
or not.
I stood there for ages and then popped it. But if I wasn't hunting, I wouldn't jump it.
But you're not, no, you wouldn't go out to school over it. I wouldn't either, probably, you know.
you're on a good horse, it's no problem.
Yeah. That's true. That's
you
half the battle.
Can I say
something?
Yeah.
I'm speaking out of turn. But once we had these anti group, who are pretty scruffy individuals, maybe they won't like hearing that, and they came down and they blew hunting horns and they sprayed scent around the air. And the local farmers and most of the people were horrified.
Yeah.
And apparently the local farmers went over to their cars, let the air out of the tires and said, you can stay there, we don't care if we never see you again.
Well, actually, I did have one similar experience that I'd forgotten about 3 years ago with the Wicklows. A crowd of university students came down from Dublin protesting, and they were all, you know, real students in... runners running around the country in little canvas shoes with cans of mace. One girl came up to me and she walked right up in front of my horse, and I said, you know there were 10 horses behind me down in a little lane, and she started sort of fending me off with the mace, saying, if you come near me I'll spray your horse with mace. And I said, well, if you do that I'm going to be killed, and I have 3 children, because my horse is going to rear up and he's probably going to fall on top of me and I'm going to be killed, and I have 3 kids. So I hope you appreciate what you're doing here. So, the followers, there must have been about 50 or 60 local farmers out following on foot that day, and they led a couple of the aunties, there was about 6 of them in a car, they led them down a lane and said, oh, the hunt went this way, they led them down a lane, and then they blocked in their car with the jeep and went off and left it there for about 6 hours. They couldn't get back to Dublin. But I mean, the farming people really resent these people coming down and interfering in their way of life.
They don't understand it. It's country life and they are town people or city people or something.
That you really should have a camera on such a beautiful girl who enjoys her life and gives us an enormous amount of joy all around the place.
How do people react to me who don't hunt and hear that I do? Well, we'll always have the argument and the debate. I generally avoid it. I would prefer to be confronting the issue with somebody who is very, very anti, because you can have a good go at them. But if somebody's not too fussed about it, it doesn't become a great debate, whether you're sitting at a dinner or whatever. It does come up at time to time. We all try and put our spoke in, but verbally and within the confines of language, it is difficult. It's very difficult to convince somebody just in a few minutes of what we do and why we think it's right and why we don't see anything wrong with it. But we'll continue the battle, and no doubt we will have a battle on our hands.